through the body. We can understand and administer them so well. How do you get the bigger process? What happened? Where did it come from? If you understood the Rebbe Mishmelo, so how did it come together? The Torah goes at length to tell us a very interesting story about Bilam when he was on his way, and his donkey who rebelled against him, and the consequences of that rebellion, and the conversation he had with the donkey. Why did the Torah tell us to know? Why is the Torah telling us that story that happened to the donkey? Specifically, the Torah told us that Vayicha Af Bilam. Bilam got very upset and he started whacking his donkey with a stick. It's important for us to know that. What does the Torah tell us?
Teaching the first talk, you know?
Sorry?
He's had his foot. He's done everything otherwise, and everything written for 40, 50, 60 years. And all of a sudden he's slamming him, and he says, no, the donkey doesn't know what's going on.
It has to be a fact.
He's not even thinking about the fact that here's something an animal has talked to. He says that fight goes right through him, and he just wants to know what's going on.
So we're going to get to a deep explanation of why that happened. Why did it go through them? What happened? So, the Chazal say in Pirkei Avos that a person who has three certain middos is a Talmid of Avraham Avinu. And a person who has a contrast, or the opposite of those three middos, is a Talmid of Bilam Rasha. Bilam lived at the same time as Moshe. Chazal say Moshe was the same level as Bilam, Bilam was the same level as Moshe. Right? That's the message. Here from Apostle. Why did Chazal and Pirkei Avos compare Avraham Avinu to Bilam Rasha? Maybe we should have come up with three middos which pass, which contrast between Bilam and Moshe. That didn't matter for Avraham Avinu. There must be some connection. So let's experiment. But first, let's digress. One of my favorite topics. There's a very interesting episode in the Novi by Elisha Novi. Elisha, as we know, is a Talmud of Eliyahu Novi. Just after Eliyahu Novi got taken up to Shomai, in the Rechem of Eish, it says that Elisha came to Yericho. And the people of Yericho told Elisha that they're having a problem with their water. The water was bad water, it was bitter, it was poisonous, it wasn't drinkable. Elisha took salt, he poured salt into water, salt usually ruins water, but the combination of the bad water and the salt, which usually makes water, a miracle occurred, and the water became sweet. And the people were very happy because now they have water to drink. Elisha left Yericho. And as he's leaving Yericho, and he's going towards Beit Kev, he's walking on the way, and the only Palim Yotam in here, literally some small children left the city of Yericho. But he tells the boy by Yeruloy, and they started mocking him, and they said to him, Aleki Reach, Aleki Reach, you know, go up the bald one, go up all the one. Obviously, Elisha was bald, and they started mocking him. So you can imagine he's taking the God of Mador, and you start mocking him because he's bald. He turned around, he turned after them, and he saw them. He cursed them with the name of Hashem. But they said of the time to the Nayar, two bears came out of the forest, and they ate from them, and they ate from them, 42 got killed. Chazal, in the Chazal and Gomorrah and Sefer, start going through the story. It's an interesting story. What happened? So there's a machlokes. Rabbi Shmuel, one says it was only a singular name. One says it was a double name. So what was a singular name? The one that says it's a singular name, he says it was a forest name. And the bears came out of the forest. One of them is a double name, it says, Lo Dubim Lo Yah. I'm sure you've heard that expression before. Well, Yiddish Nishke Tegin Nishke Flegin. There was no forest, there was no bears. The original created a forest, created bears, the bears came out of the forest, ate up the children, beat the orange, ran away. And so I'll say that you needed the forest, because otherwise the bears would be scared, because they wouldn't have anywhere to run away from. Rav Chanina says that Bob bought 42 carbonates. There were three sessions where Bilam tried to tell Klal Yisrael. Each time Bilam said to Balak, build 7 mizbachot, and bring a horrible ayah on each other's insults. So each time, 14 korbanos, 14 times 3 is 42. 42 korbanos the Pollock brought. Bizchus those 42 korbanos, or bishvil rather than bizchus, because of those 42 korbanos the Pollock brought, whom call me Yisrael Abo Mishnah Yelodi? Kalam Yisrael lost 42 children. Why are the connection, why are these children suffer, or rather why were they the appropriate reaction or midah keneged midah from Balak's Meister? Balak was 42 carbonates, so maybe you should have had 42 children, or maybe you should have had 42 countries, or $42 million. Why 42 children from Kalishah? Why did they get taken? And why these children? And why 42? What's special about 42?
There was Elisha.
I'm sorry?
They were cursed by Elisha.
They were cursed by Elisha. So why? So that's why they didn't. What's supposed to do with Balak?
Didn't he want to curse the Kali Israel? Right? Until those 42
offerings. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Next week you're off. Can't take them whole shit. So, I want to say a very, very special story to my brother. Did you know my brother there?
Yes.
He's a rabbi in London. So, he pointed out a fascinating maldim. The maldim said, he came to a town called Chelsin, which I assume is in Eastern Europe somewhere. Chelsin.
Chelsin.
And he saw there, they showed him a piece of paper from Rav Shimshon Ostropolia. Shimshon Ostropolia, he lived in 1600s. He was from the Gedol Ador in the generation of Tachlipat. He was one of the great girls in the Kubali. They say over, actually, if I remember correctly, the story correctly, that Rav Shimshon Ostropolia sent a message to the Shach when there was all the pogroms of Tachlipat. And he said that he found out that the pogroms can stop if either himself or the Shach get killed in the pogrom. And then the pogroms will stop. That's what he found out in Minas Shemayim. And the Shach said back to him, he says, I can't go yet. I haven't finished writing my spiritual Shulchan Aruch. I'm not sure if I'm saying it over correctly, that he got killed or not, but there was definitely a conversation between the two of them. And the Shach told him, he cannot die, I can't. I haven't touched him in Minas Shemayim to write my spiritual Shulchan Aruch, and I haven't finished yet. It's not time for me to go. Our father, Rishon Ostropolia, he gave a piece of paper to say in a time of a plague, and he said this when you read out this piece of paper, it'll stop the plague. What does it say in this piece of paper? It says like this. Kishenotu mi Ramses. Ramses was the first place Kalishol had. When Kalishol went from Ramses, lo yogu in Yisul Sukkot, they didn't know if they had to come to Sukkot, or any Kalosa, or to Kalosa, or the Mosor, to one of these three places. But Omar Hashem, after Kvoko told them, she Yisul Sukkot. When they came to Sukkot, lo yogu in Yisul Eichon, they didn't know if they need to travel to Eichon, or the Kafirus, or the Sorah, or the Ethian Gomer. They had four choices where to go to, they didn't know where to go to. Vomar Lem Hashem, she Yisul Eichon, go to Eichon. They came to Eichon, lo yogu in Yisul, the Fiachirois, or the Rimei Koren, or the Rimei Koren, or the Rimei Koren. Vomar Hashem, la Hashem, la Hashem, she Yisul, the Fiachirois. And he goes through all of the Nembeis Masoris, this Maimer, al zeh haderech. They came to a place, they weren't sure where they could go, they had three or four options, they asked for the register, and the register told them to go to a certain place. Dr. Malvin, all these Membeis Masois are connected to the same Membeis of the Revenge. We know what the Shem Membeis of the Revenge Roy, Rashi and Sukkim explains itself, these three Sukkim, which appear before Shira Tayyam. You can know the exact order of the name of the letters. But there are certain letters in the name of the Rosh Hashanah, the name of the Membeis, which appears two times, obviously. There's 42 letters, and there's only 20 something letters in the alphabet, so some letters are going to be repeated. Three times in the Shem Membeis, the Oiz Beis appears. There are three places in the Midbar which are connected to Oiz Beis. Now, Kalishol didn't know if when they go to the Oiz Beis, which Oiz Beis they need to go to. Do they need to go to Sukkot, which is connected to his faith? or to Kehilot, which is connected to his faith, or Moisonis, which is connected to his faith. So they asked the Rebbeinu, which Ois Beis are we meant to go to? So he told them one of those. Then they had to care, then they had to get, they had to go to the next one. So it's Gimel. And there were four options. That's after the Rebbeinu. Kali Shol, and that's how he explains the whole Matzot, and he says that's what it means in the Pasuk. Al-Pi Hashem Yachan, Al-Pi Hashem Yisol, according to the name of Hashem, Kali Shol traveled. Al-Pi Hashem Yad Moshe. They traveled according to the name with the explanation of the Rebbeinu Shalom that he gave to Moshe. That's how the Rambam explained. Klal Yisrael, 3 million people, spent 40 years in the desert doing tikkunim, if we don't understand, to this Shem Mem Beis. The Shem Mem Beis is a very, very high level hatoga in the Metzius of the Beir Olam, Rebbeinu Shalom. And Klal Yisrael spent the years in the desert being mistaken of the problem, doing tikkunim with this Shem Mem Beis. Obviously it's all Kabbalah, which we can't understand. Bolak was a person who had a very, very high soga in the Rebbeinu Shalom. Bolak bought 42 Kabbalahs because he wanted to use the Shem Mem Beis against Klal Yisrael. That means Bolak had a high soga in the Rebbeinu Shalom, which none of us could have, and he intended to use it against the will of the Rebbeinu Shalom. He saw Kedusha in front of him, he saw the Rebbeinu Shalom in front of him, and he said, no, I'm going to choose my way, I'm going to go against you. That's what Paul said. These 42 Na'arim, Balak bought the 42 of the Karbonis. Balak understood as well. It could be Bilam explained to him, because Bilam told him to build the Mizbachos. But Balak was the one who bought the Karbonis, and Balak was the one who managed to kill 42 of Klal Yisrael. These Na'arim lived in Yericho. And the Gemara also explains that they, their paramount was that they used to bring sweet water from elsewhere to the people in Yericho to drink. Elisha came along and killed the paramount. You see the Gadol HaTorah in front of you. You see the Gadol HaTorah doing a nice nigre. He takes mar, he takes salt which ruins water, he pours it into bad water and it turns into sweet water. And they go, they see the Kedusha in front of them, and they mock it. From such a thing, from such an Orion, who have the same Shurya Shachet as Balak had, they get the punishment for what Balak tried to do. Balak tried to do exactly what you're doing now, and you didn't learn the lesson. You're doing exactly the same thing. Now Balak's rotten can take in. Now it can kick in. And now you can get killed. So where does Bilam come into? The Goyen explains in Mishlei that there are two types of Yetzahara. There's the Yetzahara HaKa'asoni, and there's Yetzahara HaTa'avtoni. There's the Yetzahara the Shroshas in Ka'as, and there's the Yetzahara the Shroshas in Taivon. A Mumra Lethe Oven, a person who does Aviyas because of Taivon, is a person who can believe in the Rebbeinu Shalom, he can love the Rebbeinu Shalom, and he can want to do the Rebbeinu Shalom's work. But he hasn't managed to conquer the Yetzahara. He hasn't used his kofas that can't be Yitzhara. He's a Mumma Latihavan, he's a Yitzhara Yitzhara Tahatoni. A Yitzhara Haka'asoni, a person who is a Mumma Lahachin, he can conquer, he hasn't got a title. But I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to show the revolution. That's the Yitzhara Haka'asoni. The Zohar has said that Kolakoy is Ki'ilu Oyved Avid Zohar. Why is Kaas connected to David Zohar? Why if your person is quite angry, he's being known in David Zohar? The Nitzivan a few places explains why David Zohar was so rampant. And why the Torah had to stress from the war, and why is it so severe? Well, we nowadays we can't understand it. Nowadays the Kishas Hatum have gotten less. But the Nitzivan explains that each Yetzohar, each David Zohar, excuse me, had certain Kishas Hatum. There was an Avodah Zarah who had koshas to bring wealth to a person. To bring koyas, to bring health, to bring rain. So you have this whole crew of Avodah Zarahs in front of you, all ready to do your will. You just bring them a korban and they can do what you want. What are you going to do? You're going to run your own life. You're going to decide, today I want rain. Let's go bring carbon out of the world. Today I want help. I'll go bring carbon out of the world. And it worked. So a person who decided that he wanted to be in control, he left control of all the circumstances of his life. He just had to pick the appropriate time of his life, and that's what he was to do. When did the person get angry? When things don't go his way. I want to be in control. It's not going my way. It's not getting angry. But excuse me. Who are you to be in control? It's not your job. Intervention is in control. And you're getting angry. You don't believe the intervention should be in control. Respect of his desire. That's what's like a desire. Don't be in control. Just take it. Kalakai is just over desire. Person who gets angry. He's got a church inside him that he's angry because he wants to be in control. It's on the same wavelength. You have to be careful. What's Bilam trying to do, Bilam? He came first, the people came. The Torah Midyan and the Torah Midyan, they came to Bilam and they said, you know, we really want you to curse the Torah Shabbat. He says, listen, they're very good and the world left. And the Russians didn't let. So what did Bilam say? Oh, let me try again. Please, 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 let me go curse the people, please. I want to go. I want to do it my way. I want to be against the Mishnah. The Russians said, no, I'll find a way around. I'll do it. The donkey wasn't listening to him. You're my donkey, you're going to listen to me. And when he didn't listen to him, he got angry. Because he wanted to rule, he wanted to be shaped. That's what Bilam's shirish was. Bilam had a shirish of God. Because he had a shirish, he knew the rebellious religion. Like Balak, he had a tremendous asada. And he wanted to be in control. That's why he was always getting angry. Avraham Avinu, and the city explains, until Avraham Avinu came around, there's no shock across the world. If you go off and properly let the oil around, let the world run like a child, when you have a little child, don't be makes a mess, you don't get involved and clean it up. You're less going to get involved when you do something much terrible, much more dangerous, that's when you get involved. Until Avraham Avinu came around, and eventually, alone, he let the world go off and run as it is. He got involved when things were too severe. They're Elohim, they're Mabul, they're Apologa, that's when he got involved. When Avraham Avinu came around, the Rishon said, now the world's going to run different. Now the world's going to run the Yashkos Shabbat. So the seed is in control. I am going to control the world exactly according to your mind. And what was Bilam trying to do? No, I don't want the Rishon to be in control. I want to be in control. That's the contrast between Avraham Avinu and Bilam Rasha. Avraham Avinu was the one who taught us Hashkoch and Yehuda. Taught us Hashkoch and Yehuda. Bilam was fighting against that all the time. So, sorry?
There's no pattern for him to do this. I mean, he can, he's close as, if he's as close to the other one, he's in charge of
anyone. Who's in charge?
Sorry?
But who's in charge?
Yeah, but you know that trying to be in charge can be a big punishment, right? He thinks he can win a problem.
That's the one that he gets into foolishness, so to speak. It's not. So when a person, if you dare to be with Captain Nimrod's voice, so yeah, this has probably not worked. But he, his mistake was that he thought there was a way to force it. Because he knew there was a shot that Akash Baruch was cut. And he was going to try it for that first pass time. And he knew there's ways around that. He knew that the Demetrius Adam was going to make money.
No, I understand that, but
he knew all of these things.
He didn't think that there would be a punishment for him. He knew he was successful to
set it. Would there be a punishment? It could, it, I don't know. It's an excellent question. And it could be that he thought, I'm happy for the punishment as long as he didn't get done in. It's like Thomas Nafshi in Prishti, which is actually what happened at the last, yes, when he failed in his task. So he gave the Aether and he knew he was going to suffer from it. He knew he was going to suffer, and I think even Chazal said he knew he was going to suffer, and he still gave that Aether to be mashed and give it around. Now, Kolponim, the three middles that we see, that have Rama Greenwood and the contrast, that Bilam Rasha, are three middles. Whose shoresh is only in Emunah. It's called Mishi Yeshbo Mishoresh Amidah Salulu Mitamidah Shal Avraham Avinu. And Ayin Tzoyim, what does an Ayin Tzoyim mean? That I'm fagin that you can have something. I'm happy with what you have. Why am I happy that you have what you have? The person gave you something good and I can't be happy. It's got nothing to do with me, it's you. I'm happy that you have it. I can be Samir Hasoka. And Ayin Ra, how fagin someone else? Why has he had it? Why don't I have it? What do you mean, why did you have the virtual that you shouldn't have it? You don't want the virtual to decide? doesn't go after Mukha, doesn't go to the Hanover. Doesn't go to the Hanover because he realizes that what he has is nothing. Everything, all his gifts, all his kikas, all his midas, all his possessions, all comes to the Rebbe Shlomo. What the Rebbe Shlomo gave him, there for you. So he recognizes that he's gone, the Rebbe Shlomo is hakol. Fine, I recognize it all. What's that miskor? Kala miskor ki ilu deshek ragi shchino. Why? Why he's pushing with the shchino? Mine. It's not the shchino, it's mine. The shchino is emunah. It's got a problem with the emunah. There's a nefesh shvala and a nefesh shchova. You see the people have nefesh shchova. The people are saying, me ten, me bolak, me lo, you bait to the kent of the zon. Bolak was a prince, king, coming at a very, very nice house, you know, 342 dining rooms. He gives me all the gold to fill up his whole palace. What are you thinking about so much gold for? Why do you want so much money? Where's it all coming from? The Rahim says that Loitachmi is one of the first hadiths because why are you jealous of what someone else got? It's not yours. The Rishon gave you what you need. But a person who's got Nefesh Kol is happy with what he has because he knows that the Rishon gave it. Bilam and Balak were two partners in crime because they both had their recognition of Rishon. And they both wanted to be in control. The fetus we can understand the Rebbe Shlomo, we can't attribute, and when the Torah attributes midas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that midah be'esen. It just means that he's on the house, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with us, it looks like certain midah. It looks like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never angry because there's never, it's not shyness, the Rebbe Shlomo is always in control. Chaos comes when a person feels he's not in control. The Rebbe Shlomo is in control, then he knows he's in control. Chaos is a spira. It's just not shy to be nifas for the Rebbe Shlomo to say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can have a name of chaos. But we've reached the path. Have a lovely Shabbos.